Jesus is pretty harsh on the Canaanite woman at the outset of today's gospel, isn't he? She comes to him respectfully, calling him Lord, asks for pity, and then asks that her daughter be healed. And how does Jesus respond? Well, he doesn't. He completely ignores her. He does respond to the disciples, and he tells them that he came for the house of Israel, not for Gentiles like the Canaanite woman. Amazingly, even though she has received this cold reception from Jesus, she doesn't leave in anger. In fact, she doubles down. She gives him more respect. Before, she called him Lord with her words, and now she comes before him bowing down and paying homage, following words with actions. So you would think, okay, now she's done this, Jesus is going to come around. But in fact, he actually gets harsher with her. This time he does address her, but he calls her and other foreigners like her dogs, saying that they're not even human. So where is the Jesus who takes pity on the crowds for being like sheep without a shepherd? Where is the Jesus who has compassion for the woman caught in adultery? Where's the love? Surely, after all of this, the woman is going to go off in a huff, really angry, thinking, who does this guy think he is? It would seem that Jesus is confirming her entire experience of the relationship between Canaanites and Jews. You think the Jews and the Samaritans hated each other. The Canaanites were the ones who lived on the land that God promised to the Jews. But she doesn't walk away in anger. She doubles down yet again. She takes Jesus' words and turns them, saying that even the dogs are fed from the scraps from the master's table. Now, Jesus doesn't call her a dog. Now, he doesn't see her as the Canaanite woman. Instead, he addresses her in her dignity, calling her woman, the same terminology that he uses for his own mother elsewhere in the scripture. And then he heals her daughter. Jesus is testing the woman's faith. And we're familiar with that. We've had our faith tested. When we or a loved one falls critically ill, we prayed for our healing or for the healing of that other person, but maybe that healing isn't coming. Or maybe we have children or grandchildren who have fallen away from the church, and we pray and pray, maybe say some rosaries, that they'll return, and yet they don't. Or maybe we're a high school senior who waited 4 years to be able to enjoy all those things that you get to do in your final year of high school, but because of the pandemic, didn't get to do those things. And now we're starting a year, our first year of college, and everything seems so uncertain, and there's so much anxiety around that. It may seem like God is not listening, that God doesn't care. His silence may seem deafening. We may think, if I were God, I'd fix this situation. So why is he not doing that? We may become bitter at his silence, at his inaction. Our faith may grow weaker because of it. We may be tempted to turn away from him because we feel unheard and betrayed. Where is the God of love? In the gospel today, Jesus is not playing with the woman like a cat plays with a mouse, torturing it for its own amusement. The woman comes to Jesus for him to cure his daughter. But is she coming to him because she's treating him like a vending machine? Is she thinking, I'll say some respectful words, I'll get my daughter healed, and then I'm out of here? Jesus wants to find out. Then the Canaanite woman takes it to the next level. She gives him more respect. She goes from words to action. In doing that, despite the continuous rebuffs that she gets from Jesus, she shows tremendous humility and patience and self-denial. She checks her ego at the door to let God in. And by ego here, I don't mean what we usually think about as egotistic, right? Somebody who is, you know, very self-centered, conceited, they never think about other people. By ego, what I mean is, you know, our own self-interests, our own way of thinking. And those things may have good aspects to them, but they can also get in the way of us growing closer to God. Jesus sees not only the Canaanite woman's great love for her daughter, but he sees her capacity to love beyond her family. He sees a woman who can transcend centuries of antagonism between the Israelites and the Canaanites, and that she can do that out of love and out of faith for the one who can reconcile those antagonists. Jesus sees a woman who can move beyond the hatreds of her culture. He also sees a woman who has faith in who Jesus is and not just what he can do for her. Asking God for things is not necessarily selfish. In the only prayer that we know of that Jesus gave the apostles, the Lord's Prayer, there are 7 petitions. The first 3 are for God, and the last 4 are for ourselves. But we don't pray for ourselves until after we've prayed for God and what he wants. And that has to be the order. God wants us to pray when we're sick or when a loved one is sick. He wants us to pray when we have family who have fallen away from the faith. He wants us to pray for an end to the pandemic and the ability to return to some kind of normal life. But God wants us to love him first, like the Canaanite woman did. He wants us to love him for who he is and not just what he can do for us. Think about someone who has great wealth and is dating someone who does not. The person who has great wealth wants to know that the other person loves them for who they are and not the material comfort and lifestyle that they can provide. God not only tests our faith to see if we really love him, but he also tests our faith to help us grow spiritually. Think about a young child learning to walk, right? If that child could talk like an adult and think like an adult, what would they say? You got mom and dad sitting there on the floor. The toddler's trying to make those first few tentative steps and then face plants right into the floor. When the child gets up, if the child could, wouldn't they say, Mom and Dad, what's the deal? Right, you're right there. You didn't lift a finger to help me. Don't you love me? And of course, Mom and Dad love the child. But they know helping the child in that way is not really helping at all. They want to reach out. They want to steady the child. They don't want the child to fall. But they know that won't help the child to grow and learn to walk. God is listening, even if it doesn't seem like it. He doesn't stop loving us in the silence, or when the answer to our prayers is no, or not now. He wants to give us what we need, but he also wants us to be like the Canaanite woman, to check our ego at the door and let God in.